Okay, thank you. Before this talk, I would like to thank my collaborators in those works. They are Patrick Lee from MIT and Katie Luo, Wen Yu, and Chen Gang. I would also like to thank my PhD advisors, Professor Zhong Fang and Professor Ziyang Meng, and also collaborators in other works. They are Faka, Azad, Sun Kai, Fu Liang, Zhong Wei, Yang, Stephen Weiser, and Aris Bo. So today, I will talk about a very recent work on the spin liquid phase on the 1T structure of tantalum disulfide, and also considering to dope this spin non-forming surface phase. As we know, in the year 1973, Anderson proposed a very interesting RLB state, which is combination of the random valence bond state. He proposed this state as a ground state of the Heisenberg model on the triangle lattice with anti-ferromagnetic interaction. Although data calculation found that the ground state of the Heisenberg model on the triangle lattice is the 120 degree anti-ferromagnetic state. But this proposal has inspired many following works. And the quantum spin liquid phase in the frustrated magnets actually has found for this simple Heisenberg model on the Kangami lattice, which seems to be more frustrated than the triangle lattice. And there are also many that also in some materials which is found belong to this class. And there's another way to have the quantum spin liquid phase, which is to have the physics need a mode transition. In a single particle band picture, if you have a half filling band, there will be also have a matter. But if you consider interaction, for example, on site Hubbard interaction, then if this Hubbard interaction is greater than the band wise, you can imagine a picture that you will have a lower Hubbard band and upper Hubbard band, and this upper Hubbard band is due to you should cause an on-site yield to have a double oxide site. And at half filling, the lower half band is fully filled. Then you are giving an insulator. We call it a motor insulator. And in the strong interaction limit, usually we will have anti-ferromagnetic state. And for example, on the triangle lattice or the square lattice, which will give you an anti-ferromagnetic phase. But near the matter to the molten insulator transition, in the insulating side, there will be a long range exchange coupling, and we also have the high order spin exchange coupling, which will give you more quantum fluctuations, which may stabilize a quantum spin liquid. And it turns out this kind of organic compounds belong to this class. Here is a phase diagram under the pressure. in the small pressure side, we have a smaller topping, for example, which corresponds to a large ULP, a large injection. So, and in this side, we have a molten insulator. And in the more inherent side, we have a metal. And this spin liquid phase is found very close to the most matter to insulator transition. And in the experiments, the spin liquid signature is mainly from the solubility and also the AMR absorption spectra, and also the lattice relaxation time measurements. Those measurements point to that there is no long range magnetic order down to very low temperature. And this material, it turns out that you can probably get about 250 Kelvin. So it is very possible to be a spin liquid phase. And soon after the experiment, Botonich proposed that this state, quantum spin liquid state, may be a spin long surface state. He considered the Heisenberg model plus ring exchange coupling, and performed variational Monte Carlo simulation. And he found that when the ring exchange coupling is quite significant, for example, is greater than J4 over J2 greater than 0.3, we will have a spin non-form surface phase. And this spin non-form phase is also confirmed in the calculation in Gongsak Li and Patrick Li's work at the same year. They studied from a Hauerfeld Hubbard model and use the slaver rotor representation. Then they can derive a U1 theory. And they also make a very exotic prediction that the thermal conductivity will be a power law, which the power is minus 1/3 in the clean limit. For the specific heat, both two works, they found that it will give a two-third power law behavior. But if this is a spin non-forming surface phase, there will be also some insolubility. Later, Gongsak Li and Patrick Li and Santa, they proposed that will be ampere powering insolubility in the spin non-forming surface phase. This can be considered, for example, if you consider a small patch of the spin non-forming surface and consider the interaction between at the same side of the forming surface, means, for example, the mode of Q minus P or tau plus P, we can integrate out the other part of the forming surface, which will give you a gas propagator. And this propagator mediate the particular interaction between the modes at the same side of the forming surface. And this apparent powering instability will gap out to this U1 heat field to Z2. So if you have a Z2 heat field, because in gap, when you consider the transport, you can just ignore it. It will give you a Fermi liquid like transport. For example, you have a linear heat, specific heat, and also linear heat, thermal conductivity in very low temperature.
Sorry, is this supposed to be a perturbative instability or it's a non-perturbative instability? Meaning you have to go to finite interaction strength to get it. If I start from weak coupling, does it happen? My
Yeah,
impression is.
this is just a weak coupling theory. Yeah. You consider a Swinon coupled to a U1 gate field.
So you're saying as long as you have. I thought later the results obtained a couple of years later was different, but maybe I forgot. So are you saying that as long as I have a Fermi surface coupled to U1 gauge theory, even without going to strong coupling, this instability will kick in?
Yes.
Like BCS instability for weak attractive interaction.
Yeah, basically
Yeah,
that's my
this
question.
is a
Does
is
that
a
make
is
sense?
a that RPA level.
Okay.
Yeah, so
So that's
the later experiments they really found the
question.
linear heat term in the heat capacities.
Question.
Question. Question. That's a
Yeah.
question.
Okay. Yeah.
So is a pairing happening in every place in the everywhere in the Fermi surface, or you just haven't seen a small patch of it?
It just happens a small patch. It depends on the details of the Fermi surface, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So this calculation only tells you that there is this kind of instability here. But in the real material, there will be much details in the Fermi surface. So there it depends. Yeah. Now also it depends on the symmetry. For example, if you have a C3 or C6 symmetry, so you will also have the instability may also follow this symmetry. So this linear key occur in the heat capacity is all is really found in the later experiments. And actually if we only have this linear key heat capacities, we may not that sure either should be the spin liquid phase, because usually the localized gapless excitation will also contribute to these heat capacities, and also there's a nuclear Schrödinger effects, which also contribute to the heat capacities. So the linear T term in the heat capacities is just one necessary condition of this Swinon Fermi surface phase. The more direct evidence, I think, is from the thermal conductivity. There's also another feature in this heat capacities. I want to emphasize is that there's a hump around 6 Kelvin, and this also attracts lots of attention. People, for example, they propose that there may be some apparent pairing around the 6 Kelvin, and in the low temperature, it is a gap liquid, for example. Later people also perform the thermal conductivity measurements. They only found the linear T term in this organic compound. here shows a very beautiful linear behavior. But they did not find the linearity in the thermal conductivity in the following material. So if we combine this results, for example, we do not have the linearity in the thermal conductivity, and there is a hump around the seed carbon. It's very likely that the low temperature of this material is a gap liquid. For example, the spinner forming surface is gapped out by the ampere pairing. But this
question
is more likely a spinner forming surface base.
Question. I thought you said that the Amperian pairing will not gap out the entire Fermi surface, right?
It depends on the details.
Okay.
I think that combine these two signature is just some guess. Yeah. We cannot rule out that will be a spin form is ground state also for this material. Yeah, because this thermal conductivity measurement is also very complicated, because both the spinon and the phonon will contribute to this thermal conductivity. And the phonon contribution will be TQ in the low temperature. But usually you should deduct that phonon contribution. That is quite tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is basically the story of the organic compounds. Yeah. So in the last year, Katie Luo and Patrick Lee, they based on many experiments results, they proposed that the white structure and titanium disulfide, which has a triangle lattice for the monolayer, and they proposed this material as a titanium semi-liquid. So before we tell more about the calculation, our calculation, I want to talk more about this material. This one-tier structure titanium disulfide is belongs to a very large family of materials called the TMD, the transition metal dichalcogenide. And this 1T structure, the monolayer of this 1T structure has a erosion symmetry. And with this titanium atom surrounded by the sulfur atom. And this titanium atom, the orbital near and the Fermi level is combined with these three d orbitals. And if you just use these three, consider these three d orbitals, have your calculation, you will have a half field band near the Fermi surface. But in the low temperature, this here goes through several phase transitions. At very high temperature, it is incommensurate CW phase, a charge density, incommensurate charge density wave phase. And then go through a fourth order transition to a nearly commensurate charge density wave phase. And then around 200 Kelvin, another fourth order transition to the commensurate charge density wave phase. It also a motor transition, it is also a motor transition. And this low temperature, this high density wave phase, it turns out there's a distortion of this lattice. So there will be 12 tangent atoms, which will move forward to a center tangent atom. And this 13 tangent atom will form from a supercell, which is called the Star of the David. So as this, as each tangent has one d orbital, and then the 13 tangent will have 13 number of electrons, which is all the number of electrons. So it may be a metal, right? So you have a half filling band, and you also must know that the 5D orbital has a much smaller interaction than the 3D orbital, like in Kepler. So, but we should know more about the band details. It turns out that in this material, there's also one strong spin orbital copy. Because the tangent atom is a very heavy atom. So you will both consider the lattice deformation and the atomic spin orbital copy. It will make you to have an isolated narrow band. And this band wise turns out very very small. It's only 80 UV. So if we only have this small band wise, and then we where small interaction is enough to make you have an interaction to a multi insulator. And from the experiment data, this is the resistivity measurement. At this very low temperature, we really see this resistivity increase exponentially. This is the insulator behavior. And this is the STR measurement. We see that there's a gap here of the density of space. This is the clear signature of the insulator behavior. So as we know now, we are very sure this is a multi-insulator, right? And for most of the motor insulator, usually we have a magnetic order, one set. And it turns out this in this motor insulator, there's no magnetic order down to very low temperature. This is a very old experiment data. They measure the spin stability and it turns out for this 1D structure tangent diastereoid, below 200 Kelvin, you will see a very flat plateau of this stability. If you have a typical magnetic state, for example, a ferromagnetic state or any ferromagnetic state, you will see the stability will increase significantly, right? And then for the any ferromagnetic, you will see below this near temperature, you are reduce this stability. And the neither of them will show a plateau behavior. And this more temperature upturn is due to the magnetic impurities. And this is a very recent experiment, they found no magnetic order down to 70 millikelvin by the muon spin elasticity time measurement. And it turns out this the extent coupling from this experiment, they measured it, estimated it to be 0.13 UV. This is the very last extent coupling. It corresponds to 1,000 Kelvin. So if you for this such large of the exchange coupling, but you do not find a magnetic order down to a such low temperature. So it makes people think that This may be a liquid state. So if this is really a semi-liquid state, then that is the question. So what is a ground state? Which type of this semi-liquid? We know there will be gaseous semi-liquid. For example, the spin-non-forming surface phase or the spin-on from a Dirac node. That will be also, for example, gaseous semi-liquid. Like day two, or the chiral, which creates the time reversal symmetry. So the common evidence we already have is that there's no magnetic order below to y low temperature. And there's also other experiments, which I do not show here. They found a linear system in the heat capacity. I just mentioned that the heat capacity data is polluted by the localized gaseous excitation and also the solid, nuclear solidity effect. So we may not rely much on this data. And they also do not find any time reversal symmetry breaking. So we may be rule out some like chiral significant, for example, but that is still many possible. So
question: how do they know there is no time reversal symmetry breaking?
So they perform in this term they perform a mu SR measurement. Yeah.
So from it,
I don't know too much detail about this term actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they say that claim that there is no time reversal symmetry breaking.
Is it clear that the material is very clean or it actually has a lot of disorder?
This material actually, as I said, the low temperature is a charge density wave phase. There may be some domain walls, for example. But I think the impurity, we can see there are some resistivity measurements. I think if they have that such high resistivity in very low temperature, usually it means that the impurity at least not that large.
It's a little bit clean system.
Sorry,
I was saying that it's a relatively clean system, tantalum disulfide. I mean, I was confirming your statement that tantalum disulfide is a relatively clean system.
Yeah, it is a relatively clean system. Yeah, it's a clean system, yeah. But that is possible, that is some domain walls, yeah.
Domain walls, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That is possible, yeah. Okay, so there are many possible case that for this type of the quantum semi-liquid, which type of the quantum semi-liquid. So we want to perform some calculation for these materials. So we try to derive an effective spin model for this material. We use this canonical transformation, which is very typical to derive a spin model from a Hubbard model. And this method used this transformation. First, we divide this the Hopping term to three parts, and these three parts, the T1, T0, T-1. The meaning of this, for example, for T1 is that this term will increase the number of the double occupied sides by one, and the T0 the keep the number, and T-1 and reduce the double occupied size by one. And then we perform this transformation to choose this S operator to make it does not change the number of the W OKI size. And with this transformation, for example, to the second order, we will have the two spin change term. And to the fourth order, we will have this ring change term. But as we know, this 1D structure turning down self one is a bit complicated. We cannot just start with a simple band. We should consider more details about it. For example, this two spin chain term and the four spin term, they have this SO2 symmetry. But in the real materials, because we have the spin orbit coupling, actually this SO2 will break to U1. So we want to consider the spin orbit coupling in our effective spin model. So this can be done by analyze the band details. So we first consider a linear combination of the atomic orbital for this tantalum atoms in just consider the cluster. And then we find a one-in orbital. We found that near the Fermi surface, this black band is made up of these two orbitals. So we have two band. So we use a two band Hubbard model and write the model into the induction part and the kinetic part. And then we use a similar trick as we said in the kinetic transformation. And then we can finally derive this spin model which has an anisotropy. We call it a SSD model, for example. This is for the two spin Euclidean term, and this is for the fourth order term. And this anisotropy.
Do you know roughly
actually,
how big gamma is?
Gamma is the denotes anisotropy of the spin model.
Do we know how big roughly it is?
Oh yes, we know it. Yeah, I will talk it later. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this anisotropy actually is comes from the virtual hopping of the same orbital and the different orbital, because we have this kind of difference which give anisotropy. And in this one is our time and diversified. Because this is the Clymer doublet, because we have inversion symmetry, and another part is lifted by the spin orbit coupling, and due to the spin orbit coupling is quite large, and this isotropy actually is very small. Actually, we have performed a measurement which is less than 0.1. For this effective spin model, we write here. There are many limits for this model. For example, if we do not have this ring spin term and gamma equals 0, which is the isotropy limit, we have a Hessian model on the triangle, that is, which is the 110 degree antiferromagnetic phase. And when further we let the gamma go to infinity, which corresponds just we consider just the icing model on the triangle lattice. And this model at the finite time measure, due to the entropy effect, we have a clock phase. And we can also consider a model which is only made up of by this ring change term. And this model, it turns out you have a tetrahedral up-up-up-down structure in the classical limit. But for the general value of this J, K, and gamma, we do not know the ground state. So we perform a density matrix universal group calculation for this model. So for the DMRT method, it was proposed by Stephen White in the 1992. And this is a basic sweep scheme for the DMRT, DMRT method. And by performing, by dividing the system as the system and the environment part, then we sweep back and forth to get optimized result. But now in nowadays, the DMRG usually is used in the matrix product state language. We usually use MPS to represent the wave function of the state. And then we use the DMRG method to optimize this MPS to get, for example, the ground state. So in the simulation, I will use the iTensor library, which is we use the MPS language to represent the wave function. So as DMRG is very powerful for 1D system. So here we want to consider a 2D system. So it will we are transform this for example we consider a ladder geometry and then we transform this a ladder to a 1D chain. And we will also use some symmetry in this model. For example, we will use the U1 symmetry. And we choose the total as the equal zero sector. And we make an open boundary in the S direction and a priori boundary in the Y direction, which is, turns out to a very optimized geometry for starting a 2D system using DMRG. And then we using the number, keep the number of states increase gradually to optimize the ground state. We will consider a 6-leg ladder and an 8-leg ladder simulation. So then the question is how to detect the orders in the simulation. We will measure the correlation function, basically. Actually, we considered spin correlation, time correlation, and also chiral correlation. And with this correlation, we can detect the different orders. And here is the phase diagram we got for this effective model. As I just said, this sinusoidal turn, the gamma is very small. And in this simulation, we considered both gamma equals zero case and also gamma equal to a finite small value case. Turns out they have a similar phase diagram. So we are in the following discussion, we will just focus on the gamma equals zero case. And then for the small range change turn, we have the anti-parametric phase, which already well known. And then we have a balance bound solid phase. And further, we have this spin-off surface space. And in this dimension for metaphoric space, we measure some interesting behavior of this being time-time and Kelly-Kelly relation. Both the spin-spin and time-time is clearly show the power law behavior. But for this Kelly-Kelly relation, the things can be both fitted by a power law and an exponential behavior. Actually, if you interpreted this Kelly-Kelly correlation to the gauge flux correlator, for this gapless simulator, we expect a power law behavior. But as here, we also see some oscillation of this correlation. So we cannot interpret this. Maybe because that the system size is not that large enough to see clearly a uniform power law behavior of this Kelly-Kelly correlation. And more direct evidence for this spin non-forming surface phase is from the 2PS singularity in the spin trial factor. Here is a result of the six-leg ladder, which will make five cross over the spin non-forming surface. As the symmetry we here only show four cross. And we pick all this position of this peak. And then we plot this peak position together here. And this solid line is the 2KF line. And the dashed line is the 2KF line by translates by the lattice vectors in the momentum space. It turns out all the points are laid close to these 2KF lines. So this is a very direct evidence that we have a spin non-forming surface phase. But here, there is a very strange thing, see that we do not see the peaks along this gamma m bracket here or here, k2 equals 0, k, denoted by this green line. We do not see the peak along this bracket. So this reminds us that there may be some spin on pairing here. So if there is some spin on pairing, which will reflect in the number of the gapless modes. So we try to measure the gapless modes from the subsystem entanglement entropy. We can use this formula to fit the central charge. But as we see here, as we gradually increase the number of states, this the converge of this simulation is slow, actually. It's far from converge, actually. So here, this estimation is only use the entropy near the boundary. So this will give you an upper bound for this center charge, which is close to 9. And if you have a U1 spin non-forming surface, because you have five cross of this spin non-forming surface, which will give you 10 gapless modes. But one of the gapless modes should be coupled to the U1 gate field to contribute to the constraint. So we are inside. We have 9 gaps modes here. So we correspond to stage 9. But if you have a day 2 spin off from the surface, which will give a time charge equals 7. So this.
Sorry, why is it 7?
Because your gap this direction. You only have 4 crossing.
Why wouldn't that give me 8?
Yeah. It should always be.
You also have a get 1 to make the constraint.
No, the Z2 gauge field doesn't reduce it.
Right, the Z2 gauge field is gap, right? At least in 2D. So it, why should it affect my central charge? I mean, for you, I understand, right? It fluctuates, you kill one mode.
In my understanding that both U1 and Z2, you have the constraint.
You have the constraint microscopically, but...
You're right, the Z2 is gapped and U1 is gapless. That's true.
Right, so if you're measuring central charge, I mean, it's something that it's an IR quantity, right? Why would a Z2 gauge field kill one central charge, actually? Unless it confines or something, but...
Yeah, we may discuss this later, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So from this estimation, it hard to say here, because I think the error bar of this estimation of the central charge is quite large, because we do not know the middle part of this entropy.
So do you have the data for a smaller lens? So here you choose a huge lens. It's like 100, right? So if you...
Yeah, this is a six-leg ladder correlation.
Yeah, I mean the lens of the cylinder. So
the lens of the thing.
Yeah, if lens is small, then you would probably get a very convergent result.
If your lens is small, we have tested, but you should not reduce the ladder. The width of the ladder is the killing thing.
But if you want to calculate central charge, you don't really need that.
Yeah, for example, I have tested, we can have a 6x6. It still worse, very worse.
But here it's like 6 times 140, right?
No. Here is 6 times 24.
Oh, but then you should not really extrapolate central charge in that way.
Sorry, why is it 6 times? Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, so, but we make it to be a 1D chain.
If you want to calculate central charge, what you need to do is like to extrapolate the entropy in the unit of column in your cylinder.
I should calculate the in the unit of the length of the ladder, not the length of the chain, the total chain.
You're saying his small L should range from 0 to 24.
Exactly.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that will correspond to the scale of the x-axis, for example. But I don't think it will contribute to the constant here.
Oh, right. I mean, it's just a subset of this data. Really.
Yeah, but then it's hard to imagine you get any sensible results from this data. It's basically the region he used to fit is probably, if you plot it in the right way, then the data he used to fit is just like one or two sites.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so So your meaning, for example, we pick just part of the data, then yeah, we do not find that. Yeah, I will think about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this estimation actually has a very large error. So we cannot pin down this. Maybe we can improve it. Yeah. Okay. So here is a experiment. So they perform both the red field measurement and thermal conductivity measurement. And in this red field measurement, they indeed find the linearity term here. And in the thermal conductivity, they also have found the linearity term. But this data seems a bit strange here. Because when you perform some magnetic field here, only 14 Tesla, for example, we are make the results change very dramatically. So if, as we just said that the change coupling J is about 10,000 Kelvin. So you should if the spin of momentum phase we have, it should not be this case. Such small magnetic field won't change the data so much. So there should be some other explanation for this data. So it turns out that there should be a picture. Then there will be coexisting localized and eternal gambling station here. And I mentioned in the former part that the gambling station, the localized gambling station, will contribute to the heat capacity. So if you have this kind of often spins which form this localized singlet. Because this the energy of this coupling is decreased of the length. So approximately you will have a gapless localized excitation. So if you have you have this kind of localized excitation, you apply a magnetic field. Then you pin this spin. Then you have a dramatic decrease of the heat capacity here. And only another way, you can see here the thermal conductivity, there is a 10% increase. And this picture, if you apply a magnetic field as you pin this beam, which will make the scattering of the phonon will be suppressed. So there will be a small increase in the thermal conductivity. So it turns out this kind of picture is quite consistent of this data. And in the clear limit, we think it realized a spin of Fermi surface phase.
Sorry, I thought you just said if I take this picture, that means if I suppress the defect spins, the peak capacity over T vanishes, right? Is
if I look at it has a small value, yeah, very small value.
Yeah, how is that consistent with the spin on Fermi surface?
Yeah, you can also you can think it a small value, and as I said that this in this season the deer is very large.
Right.
So if you are spinner from the surface, the Wilson ratio is close to one. So it means that the finite spin suitability are also very small, which is consistent with a very large retained coupling day. So I mean, if you have a very large retained coupling, you have a small spin suitability. And as you have a Wilson ratio close to one, if you have which is the Fermi liquid theory. So it means that the heat capacity should also be small. So here you cannot inflate it as you do not add it as a zero.
Okay. Just saying small.
Yeah, just saying small, yeah.
So don't you mention that the system is very clean? So then why the impurity would dominate its capacity?
Yeah, the clean is a relatively concept.
But you can estimate from Curie fit 1/T the impurity.
Yeah, you can estimate it. Yeah,
magnitude is large because of 1/T. The coefficient should be small.
Yeah, people can estimate it in the experiment. Yeah.
Well,
but as I just said, the heat capacity, if the spin off from the surface, it should be more due to you have a very large exchange coupling.
But this spin phase is
so most of this heat capacity is contributed by the localized coupling station.
Yes, I have a question. So at 14 Tesla, the spin liquid phase is expected to survive.
Yeah, this localized coupling spin is not just the nearest neighbor. It has long range, and this bounding energy will decrease quickly with the distance. So you can consider approximately it the gapless localization. So a very very small magnetic field will change this singlet.
So, if I remember correctly, the J is large in magnetic field unit.
Yeah, J is large, but that J is the nearest neighbor.
So, it's 10 Tesla is small.
But this singlet, if you consider long range singlet, that bound energy decreases with the distance quickly. And in that picture, you can see the approximately the gapless rotation. Any other questions?
I think you can continue.
Yeah. Okay, so so maybe we just suppose that we have a spin on Fermi surface phase in the clear limit. So what we have if we solve this spin on Fermi surface phase? So in the second year of the discovery of the high temperature superconducting activity, Anderson proposed that the physics near the undorped region is very close to our B state. And that the magnetic singulated pulse turn to the charged superconducting pulse when we doping is quite natural. So this kind of picture motivated many studies of this the pseudo gap region of the cuprate. As we know, people usually use the TJ model to discuss the doping physics of the cuprate. And it turns out that this TJ model describes this doping phase quite well. For example, people have used the slew boson or Kurzweil projected wave function for DMRG's simulation of this TJ model. They found the D-wave pairing. And they also some, for example, the slew boson method, you can find some spin gap in this region. So motivated but both by the interesting physics, maybe generated by doping a motor insulator. And the spin on Fermi surface phase realized in the experiments possible. We try to consider the doping case of the spin exchange model. So we consider a TJ model plus a range change term. And we want to study the spin non-forming surface phase. So we are consider the case when the range change is quite large, which will give us deep into the spin non-forming surface phase. And then we consider the whole doping using the DMRG simulation. We consider a four leg ladder and then consider the pairing correlations. Here is some results. Here the P22 and P12 is the pairing correlation of the singlet along CN direction and different direction. We can see a very clear power of behavior, although this power is larger than 2. And we analyze the oscillation part of this correlation, and we found that actually this is a kind of finite momentum power, which is very interesting. And we also see the doping dependence of this pairing correlation and find that at different doping, this pairing momentum will change accordingly. And to understand this pairing density wave, we also measure the spin correlation and the diamond correlation. And then we also find the power law behavior, which means that in this system, we have both gravity spin and higher degree of freedom, which is quite unique. As in formal examples, usually we have a spin gap. So we try to understand the momentum of this current density wave by consider the spin non-forming surface by considering the forming vector. As we know, in the wind dust interaction, there will be some correction of this forming momentum. But we can still use the similarity of this forming density in momentum space to measure the KF. And this is a measurement of the KF here. And it turns out this can be interpreted by an eta pairing.
Xiaoyan, can you wrap up in like maybe 5 minutes or so?
Okay.
Sure.
And this can be interpreted as the eta pairing and the general Lattinger liquid theory. So we can sum over all the KF, and it turns out the pairing density wave momentum is consistent of this summation. And in the eta pairing language, as the correlation of the eta pairing, the power is always greater than 2. So this is quite consistent. But the 1A stopping of this test is quite special, because we find that the momentum of the spin is half of the dynamo, which is quite similar to the anti-phase pairing in the Q-place. People find the Y's doping anomaly in the Q-place, and this anomaly is that we have a dip in the DC of the Q-place. And the suppressing of the pairing here actually is because there are the spin spiral phase due to the charge ordering. And another anomaly is that people find actually the 2D superconductivity instead of 3D superconductivity due to the dynamic delta coupling. And people propose that the pairing density wave as a mechanism to realize this dynamic delta coupling. And this pairing density wave actually is found recently in the experiments. So this makes us think about whether our study is related with this, with Q-place physics. So people already considered that the T1, T2, J1, J2 model by DMRG, but they do not find the pairing density wave in this model. So then how about we add a range change term? It turns out a simple DJK model on square, that is, cannot give you a pairing density wave. So it means that the spin non-forming surface here is very important. So maybe we first make a spin non-forming surface space, and then we drop this spin non-forming surface on the square, that is. then we can capture the doping physics in the template. I think this is all I want to talk and get the summary. Thank you.
So one question. So so you saw some power law for spin, sorry, for pair density wave correlation, but suppose I just take a free Fermi C, a Fermi liquid, I presumably also see a power law in pair density wave. Is this clearly much more singular than that?
If you are just a Fermi liquid, you won't have the momentum I showed.
Maybe I misunderstood.
And this is the dominant power.
So
the current density here is the dominant power.
Actually, what's the power of that power law?
The power here, because we cannot calculate the states too very large.
Okay.
So the power, the estimation of the power is not good actually.
Okay.
That is larger than two.
But if I understand
actually,
correctly,
close to four.
I take a free Fermi surface. You know, I can make a PDW order parameter at essentially any momentum, and that will be power law for sure, right? It's especially in 1D if I wrap it up on a cylinder.
But that is not the dominant power.
So this power in Emery-Noether model is interaction dependent. Whereas if you do it for free Fermi gas, you get some universal number.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Here. Yeah.
Any other question?
I have one question. When you have this commensurate pair density wave, you can also think about it as valence bond order in the conducting state. For example, in 1/8 in cuprate, you alluded to this pair density wave. You can also comfortably think it of in terms of valence bond order. So what is your comment?
You're mentioning that will be a composite order, right? But here the period of this spin and the diamond doesn't change actually. They just have the period two for the 1/12 doping and the 1/16 doping. We only see some different case in the 1/8 doping.
Hey, that's all. Thanks, Sharon.